Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neural nutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
Welcome to the Dish on Health. This is Deborah Peek Haynes, and I hope you are having a wonderful, wonderful day. I'm coming to you out of my passion and concern for our people, and really I'm very concerned that we have forgotten some real basic things that are very necessary for good health. And this has happened because of what I have been through. So the Lord has taken me through so many things. And one main testimony, and some of you that have followed me all these years may know my story about how I was told that I had less than a 5% chance of ever getting pregnant. Through a series of events, I found a holistic doctor, Dr. Jewel Pookrum, who gave me a very different outlook. And so I followed what she told me to do, and basically there were two things that I had to do. One is change my thought process, and secondly, I had to change my diet. Both of those sound easy, but they're not always so easy. However, if you want better health, you're going to have to address those two things. So I had to address those things, and I am happy to say that I had wonderful results. I lost 19 pounds in 30 days just from my body detoxing. And all the things that happened to me from a health vantage point were turned around. And my husband and I now have a wonderful, fabulous daughter, Aubyny Jewel, who is a proud graduate of Howard University in 2015. So going through that process really taught me so much about what we need to do to better our health. So I want to share with you the things that I have learned. And I'm a lay person. I am not a licensed practitioner, health practitioner, but I am a lay person, and I want to share whatever I have that maybe could help you in your life and your family. I speak throughout the country, and I am so happy whenever someone says to me, I did what you said, I heard what you said, and I've lost X amount of pounds, my diabetes is gone. I've had wonderful, wonderful testimonies from people around the country. So hopefully this podcast will give you some tips and will really just help you think about things a little differently as it relates to your emotional wellness as well as your physical wellness. So one of the things that I have learned, and it really frustrates me, I have to say, you know, I get really frustrated by certain things. I'm just going to share that with you because, you know, life has a lot of frustrations. We just have to manage them well. But I have found that so many people don't have some real basic items in their house. So on this first podcast, I want to share with you just a few things that all of us should keep in our house. It's real basic. For instance, do you have apple cider vinegar that is inexpensive? You can use it in many recipes, but it's also very healthy if you're having any stomach problems or, you know, gas or all those types of things, or you're not feeling well. Apple cider vinegar is really good at helping to settle the body. And also it contains potassium, which is much needed, particularly if you have heart disease, high blood pressure. Potassium is very, very necessary. So apple cider vinegar, everyone should have in their house. baking soda. When I grew up, we always had baking soda. If something was wrong with my stomach, it was upset, my parents would take out the baking soda, put a teaspoon in some water, I would drink it, it would really settle my stomach. So have baking soda. Of course, you use it in recipes as well. And then everyone should have vitamin C, 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. If you have a child, of course, they wouldn't take that much, but they have little pills that dissolve under a toddler's tongue or a child's tongue. Everyone should have vitamin C because it boosts the immune system. So if you feel like you're coming down with something, you could take extra vitamin C, and it's very helpful. One of the great things about vitamin C, it helps to detox the liver. And a lot of the mucus is coming from the liver because, you know, the liver is a filter for the body. And so when it gets too toxic, you have all this mucus, vitamin C really helps to detox the liver. And then magnesium. Magnesium is necessary because if you don't have enough magnesium, it could cause headaches. Of course, you can have a lot of body aches and pains because your body is screaming for minerals, and magnesium is a wonderful, wonderful mineral that we should have. And so another thing about magnesium, if you have a hard time sleeping, if you get some powdered magnesium and drink it maybe an hour before bed, it is very calming. And with all that's going on in this world, in this country, and then in your personal lives, we need something that really brings us calm. And magnesium does that naturally. The other thing I would have in the house at all times is B-complex. B-complex is a vitamin supplement that is very, very helpful when you are stressed out. I know some of you get stressed. And, you know, many times we're stressed. We don't do anything to combat the stress. We don't get enough sleep. You know, we don't try to find something relaxing. And so we just keep going, keep going, keep going. Well, if you just pause, take B-complex, it will really help your body manage stress. So these are just a few tips and things that you should have in your home. Just keep these items in your home. They're very inexpensive. Oh, let me say this. One other thing you should always have in your refrigerator, lemons. Lemons are great because lemons are high in vitamin C, and lemons really are wonderful because once the lemon juice gets in your body, it turns alkaline. You might think it's very acidic, but actually it changes composition as it goes into your body and it becomes alkaline. So lemons are also good for detoxing the liver, helping to fight mucus buildup in your system. It's great for cutting the fat, and if you are trying to lose weight, add some lemon juice to that equation. Lemons are really great for, if you drink it with very warm water, it's good for your lymph nodes and flushing out your lymph nodes. If you are fighting a cold, fresh lemon juice is great, and I'm not talking about that bottled lemon juice in the bottles that you get at the grocery store. You want live lemons, so that means not buying bottled lemon juice. It doesn't take but a couple minutes to squeeze a fresh lemon in a cup of very warm water and drink that. So these are just some tips. Remember your lemons, apple cider vinegar, baking soda, vitamin C, magnesium, B complex. These are a few things most people can have in their homes, and they're very, very helpful in times of stress or if you just want to have a little extra energy. All of these things can be very, very helpful. We'll talk more about a lot of different health issues. We will interview some wonderful people that have depths of knowledge in their various disciplines. I will bring on some wonderful health professionals, and then we'll also talk about, you know, food and policy. You know, your vote really does matter, particularly on the local level, because we have issues in our country about around food deserts, particularly in African American and Hispanic communities, and we're going to even talk about What does that mean, and how does that impact your health? There are some alarming statistics about communities that do not have access to fresh produce. So we'll get into some very exciting topics and then some topics that everyone really just needs to know. But remember, no matter what you do, you have to have the right mindset. Your mind and your body are one. They are not disconnected. So we have to operate with our minds and our physical bodies and make sure they're both getting what they need so that we may go about doing what we were sent on this earth to do. Everyone has a purpose. I hope the Lord will reveal your purpose to you, but I am coming to you because through my challenges, through suffering, through healing, I have a purpose, and that is to share with you that you can have better health, a better quality of life, and we can do great things if we feel good inside and if we have the right mindset. So I hope you are ready for a treat. I hope your minds are open. We have a dynamic sister with us today. This is my doctor and friend, Dr. Jewel Pookrum. And we could just go on and on all day just talking to her about all the different things she has to share with us about the state of our health, the state of our planet. But today we are going to talk about her book that is just absolutely insightful and thoughtful, Vitamins and Minerals from A to Z. But first of all, I would just want Dr. Jewel Pookrum just to say hello and just give us a quick introduction to what she's doing now, and then I have some questions for her because we've really got to hear what this brilliant, brilliant sister has to say and share with us today. Dr. Jewel Pookrum, thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to share with us today on Deborah's Healing Kitchen. How are you?
I'm fabulous, thank you, and I want to give so much thanks to the source of all things and to my existence this day to be able to tell all of you how much I love you. You're just so divine, and I'm so glad to be here to share with you some of the knowledge that I've discovered over my decades of research. So again, thank you, Deborah, for having me, and let's get started. There's a lot about me I can tell, but I prefer that we talk about a specific subject that they can run with. You know, they can find out my bio, the things I've done. And I think most important, as far as you and I are concerned, is that the information that was endowed into my consciousness to really be able to help people learn how to operate a physical body has been my greatest sharing to humanity. And so this is how we met, Deborah. Remember that you were having problems with your health. You were having problems learning how to operate your body. And I just told you some very simple things to do, et cetera, and your body is able to perform completely once you understood better how it operated. So I want to totally dissolve this misperception that we have that our body is something that is beyond our control, beyond our comprehension, and that this is something that is not our best friend. This is the most dynamic, the most divine tool that you will ever have next to being a manifestation of God yourself. And we, as far as humanity goes, have been very negligent, and we've been very lackadaisical in investing our conscious energy and our devoted focus to understanding the nature of what we have created for ourselves. Wonderful human body.
Well, Dr. Jewel, excuse me. You know, what we have as far as our history is just, you know, very rich. And you were really, really very helpful to me in understanding that I had to learn about my body. And so one of the things that you gave to me was your book, Vitamins and Minerals from A to Z, which was profound because at the time, you know, I heard about melanin. You know, I knew a little bit about it, but the depth of it I did not fully understand. And so just for the purposes of today's podcast, I just wanted to ask you a little bit about what drove you to create this awesome book and that's so insightful for so many people.
Well, thank you. I do want to make just one little correction. Our relationship, Deborah, in the past is really her story. This is her story. So this is the females collecting and chronicalizing the events that they've experienced as opposed to history.
Right.
So her story, is quite interesting. And this book was brought to my attention by our source because I recognized that the information and the tools that were offered to me in conventional medicine did not perform efficiently and thoroughly for particular groups of people.
Right.
Now, I intentionally chose to go to a hospital to complete my more advanced training, a residency in surgery, and the hospital I selected was one that had a very high population of melanin-dominant individuals. Now, the historical and more common description of this group of people is called Negroes, depends on what your age group is, and then we advance to Blacks, and then we finally progress to African American.
Right.
So scientifically, you have to understand that melanin, and this is the natural pigment of sunlight. Now, listen to me carefully, is that the sun has a physical manifestation of itself. When we look up in the sky, we think that we're looking at light, as we call it, white light, but its physical manifestation is known as pigmentation. And the components that make up white light, when we look at the physical component of the sun, made up of 7 different rays of color, we see that in our environment.
Wow.
Therefore, when we're looking at yellow, green, blue, we're looking at the different components of white light in its physical form. And any individual, any form of mass that appears to be very, very dark or black is not only showing you the 7 major rays of light that compose that pigment, but even more rays of light from the electromagnetic spectrum that our physical eye cannot see.
Wow, so, that's awesome.
Right, and that's what we need to understand. So what I recognize is that people who are only displaying the 7 rays of light that compose what we perceive as white light have a different physiology in many ways and a different quality of chemistry than individuals who are now brown, black, navy blue black, and purple black in skin color.
Wow.
So therefore, the recommendations made were only for individuals in the conventional medicine environment, for people who were demonstrating these 7 wavelengths of light. And they appear to our eye to be pinkish, whitish, grayish in color. But when we start moving into more light being emanated from this solid mass that we're calling a human body, there are more wavelengths of light that the physical eye can't see. And obviously, if we're only relying on what the physical eye can see, then we're not including them in any type of activities or preparation that we may be involved in. And this is the short-sightedness of what has happened with conventional medicine. So understanding light, because if you go to any general textbook and look up the components of the electromagnetic spectrum, that's the scientific name for light, you'll see that there are many, many, many more wavelengths of light that are not visible, as we call it, DL, visible light, but are still light forms of energy. And we find that the darker the mass, the more of these different forms of energy are present in that structure.
Mm.
So this is why I had to write this book, because the recommendations made for individuals who are exhibiting more of the electromagnetic spectrum beyond the visual light spectrum, which is what we call white light, had not been considered in the therapy. And so therefore, this is why I found that the standard conventional therapeutics were more than 60% non-functional or, as a matter of fact, dangerous for melanated people.
Wow.
So to substantiate this, it's very interesting because most of the drugs and the therapies, when they are, quote, tested, unquote, they're tested on animals who also only exhibit the seven dominant wavelengths of energy that compose visual light or white light. They're not testing them on animals that have the what we call exceptional aspects of the electromagnetic spectrum, which then would make them have color. So we're not testing on black rats and rabbits, brown ones, or even mixed animals that exhibit that they have more energetics than just white light. So therefore, the medication attuned to only working within the white light spectrum don't work or are very toxic because they're only fine-tuned to the seven wavelengths of light composing visual light. So
Wow. Still,
my colleagues are not aware of this, but they've gotten better. So they use the terms, African-Americans, their blood may show this capacity to sickle under certain circumstances, and they've labeled that as sickle cell disease, but that's still incorrect. And I thought that was so interesting. I was like, this is known as an environmental adaptation. See, we're about surviving. We're about thriving under all conditions. This is how awesome this body is. And if there's an environmental factor that is very difficult for us to control, guess what we do? We adapt. We adapt. And so, therefore, individuals who had to learn how to live with the Anopheles mosquito, the blood quality accommodated the existence of such. So, therefore, when an individual was bit and the mosquito was carrying a particular bacteria that used the human as what we call a host, the blood cells literally became resistant to allowing themselves to be infected.
Is
and
this
so,
for people in different parts of the world, or is this around the Mediterranean? Right.
Well, both, because now let me just finish the story real quickly. What happens here is that the red blood cell recognizes the importance of geometry, Deborah, and so therefore it's like, okay, this particular organism is very specific about where it wants to live and grow. So it loves a sphere. Loves a sphere. So if the blood cell changes its shape due to the chemistry that this organism is releasing, the organism will not choose to live in that cell. So therefore, the cell changes its shape. It takes on a sickle formation, and the cell can't be infected. So this is why these people do not die of hemolytic anemia, because the cells aren't affected, and in the face of having enough oxygen in the environment, they're able to still continue their normal physiology and anatomy, which is why there's still Africans in Africa today where there's high populations of the Anopheles mosquito.
Mm.
So this did not become a problem for the Africans in Africa. It became a problem for Europeans and melanin recessive individuals who came into that environment and could not adapt by their blood cells changing shape, so they would not be infected.
Mm.
So therefore, when they did the research and they found this really incredible adaptive phenomena was happening in the Africans, they mislabeled it and they misinterpreted it. And
wow.
So therefore this was printed in their literature, but then it actually left a scar, and it has caused a lot of problems in the melanated individual who already had the capacity to adapt to this type of environmental neighbor. Now,
wow.
What we know is this for sure, that sickle cell anemia is only due to an individual who has the capacity of this wonderful trait for their blood to change shape to prevent invasion, but the individual does not know how to feed themselves appropriately with this kind of quality. Now, let me make the analogy here, because it's just like buying an incredible, wonderful car that can do all these great things, but the fuel has to be of a certain quality at all times.
Right.
So they'll tell you, you must put premium gas in this. Okay, if you don't put premium gas in this automobile, all these other qualities, et cetera, become dysfunctional. So the same thing with an individual who has this kind of high-quality blood. They cannot eat a lot of the foods here in the Western world. White sugar is an abomination
right.
for anyone who has this quality of blood. White flour, anything that has the B vitamins removed from it that gives it this perception that it's white cannot function well in these bodies. But that information wasn't given to them. So as they migrated out of their southern environment in Africa and came here, they just started eating what was ever available, which was different than what they normally would eat in their homeland. The amount of protein that they consumed was far greater here, which is a very acid-producing substance. And so, therefore, the environment for that quality of red blood cell was very destructive. So what happened with the Spanish is that the Spanish were very interesting and interested about this because they had kind of a similar quality of blood known as thalassemia. And they have two components of this, allegedly, that thalassemia major, thalassemia minor. And it's very similar to the sickle cell phenomena. So when they did the research, they were able to, again, prove that this is not a disease. It is an environmental adaptation, and it does not move the individual into a diseased state if all of the other environmental parameters are kept constant. Well, they very well hydrated, making sure that the foods eaten do not put the pH of the blood, the serum, into an acid state. So as long as they remain neutral in blood quality, as far as pH, hydrogen iron content, or slightly alkaline, which means they have to regulate very acid-producing foods.
Mm-hmm.
All white flour products, white sugar products, white rice are all acid-producing. Excess amounts of protein are all acid-producing. And when you come to America, this is a real big issue here in the American diet. And so that's a big discussion that I still don't understand, that with so much information known about the importance of B vitamins and knowing that there's no such thing as white sugar naturally occurring on this planet, there's no such thing as white sugar, white flour naturally occurring on this planet, that we would still serve food in all the main restaurants and eating facilities that have been adulterated using still white sugar, white flour, and that's amazing to me.
Right, right. Well, Dr. Jewel, you know, I want to go back to something you said earlier, because one of the things I appreciate about you and having our conversations, you have given me information that is years before it actually comes out to the public. And one of the things you talked about is how, you know, drugs are tested on, you know, these animals that don't have the same frequency as, you know, darker skinned animals. And you also talked about how drugs are tested on typically melanin recessive or white males and not females, and now they're talking about testing more drugs on females, and now then they move to, okay, this may not even work for African Americans or heavy melanated people. So you gave me that information years before it was a conversation in the public. So I really appreciate that about you and your insight and, of course, you know, your studies that you've done so for so many years. And I just want to let you know that I have talked with people that have the sickle cell trait, and I said, well, you need to talk to Dr. Jewel Pulchram because this is a nutritional issue. You don't have a disease. So I really appreciate that information that you share with us because that's just invaluable. So what can we do as a people with what you just shared, and, you know, what can we do to move ourselves forward? And I'm always talking about what you shared with me and taught about, you know, the dangers of white sugar, white flour, and how we, you know, typically eat in this country.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your recognition for my hours spent studying. Okay.
Yes, many.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time studying, and I just love it. It's like I go into another world, you know, and it was just so great to recognize that I was going into me, okay? So I had a microscope. My favorite toy when I was growing up was my microscope. I saw this picture of a microscope when I was 8 years old, and I just said, I just have to have this, and I asked my parents to forsake all of the gifts that they may think that they want to give me. Don't give me anything but this microscope. And I really hope that they would do that. And they did. And I tell you, that was the hook in. And so I looked at everything through my microscope. And it was always amazing because my conversations with most people was quite limited because what I saw, they had never seen before. And so, therefore, I was like, wow, you know, they think this feather is one thing, but it's really something.
And when I put it under my microscope, it has a whole different
picture. Dr. Jewel, can you repeat that? I think we lost a little bit of your what you were saying. Can you repeat that about you said the feathers weren't really feathers, but you saw something else?
Yeah, that feathers, as we think that they're feathers, are really something else. They depends on the level of development of the organism is really a scale or it's a hair or it's the same branching that you see on any bush or any tree. So, but you have to be able to see the geometry in its different presentations, not only with the gross eye, but also beyond what the eye can see. And that's one of the greatest things that the microscope has given us. So as you remember, Deborah, that's how we looked at your blood, and we knew what the problem was. It's because I put it under a microscope. Well, I've been
working. Wait a minute. I have to say this, Dr. Jewel. One of the things you said to me, when you said this to me, I was like, oh, I can't believe she knows that. She said, oh, I see you eat a lot of chicken. Look at all this bacteria. I was like, I cannot believe that she knows I was eating chicken. So that was eye-opening.
Yeah, it's in the blood. So, you know, there's a whole thing about the blood. It's such a sacred, sacred, sacred liquid, okay? And, you know, people need to really know about this. So just very quickly, being able to recognize it was more to what was going on underneath what the physical eye could see. This is why I started basically investigating what wasn't spoken and what wasn't discussed, because I knew, I just grew up knowing that there was always a new level. There was a new level that could be discerned. So with the book, I recognize that the people in the present searching for help in the present medical system, in two-thirds of the world population, which is melanated, so whether they're olive color, whether they appear to be yellow in color, which is a particular chemical, okay, a particular amino acid, cysteine, which is included in the formation of the melanin, which makes it appear to be yellow, okay, as opposed to acanthins, cyanosins, which give the red color, et cetera. So none of that was basically mentioned in any of the textbooks of any significance, and so therefore I did the research on light. Okay, melanin is physical light, light in its physical form. This is so important. And the wavelengths that the pigment is composed of will let you see the color, the colors, or the lack of such. And so this is a very important statement, Deborah, to remember.
all of the humans on this planet have the same DNA. This is really incredible. We have the same DNA, but how we think and the environment that we expose our bodies to turns on specific software programs, turns specific software programs in the DNA on and off, which then exhibits themselves differently. So the hair could become straight, it can become curly. A person has straight hair, they also have the gene that makes their hair kinky.
Wow.
But the environment determined by what? States of consciousness and how you interpret your outer environment determines what gene is going to be turned on to exhibit that characteristic. And this is not what is being taught. And so, therefore, we have been manipulated thinking that we're different races, that we don't have the same capabilities. It's all foolishness.
Right,
it
right.
It comes from ignorance of who you are. You don't know yourself.
Right.
And so this is what we're missing here. And so this book had to be written for individuals who are demonstrating wavelengths or frequencies of the electromagnetic field that are not considered in a particular medical system.
Mm.
And so why I wrote it, that's why I talked about the fact there's different vitamins and the concentrations thereof that have to be honored in individuals who are melanated. And this has never been done. Okay, so therefore, that's what the book was about. But it was a hard sell, Deborah. It really was. I was like, wow, this is going to be great. We got, what, I don't know, 6 or 7 billion melanated people on the planet. Okay, because being melanin recessive is a low population in the total population of humans on the planet.
Right.
This whole concept that melanated people are minorities is just absurd. Okay, it's
right,
not true.
Right.
So therefore, you know, so many things were flipped that were not true. And the main concern at that point was to let the melanated people know you've got to understand what this pigment is and how to handle it, because without it, so many wonderful systems in the body don't function well. And one of the main systems is the immune system. The immune system does not function well if the melanin isn't healthy. And to this very moment, I will say, what institution would dare talk about wanting to support the immune system and they do not have a test to assay the vitality, the accurate function of melanin?
Mm.
I don't care if the person is stark white to the eyeball. The person can't exist unless it has melanin.
Wow.
Every gene, every chromosome is black. I don't care how white you are. And that melanin that covers every gene, covers every chromosome, is critical so that the software programs encoded in protein in the gene don't mutate and change the information. So everybody has melanin. You have to be able to exist.
Right.
And
right.
So therefore, they obviously, for melanin recessive individuals, the activation and the activity of melanin will be different than someone who is navy blue or purple black. We're totally different, but it's just like anything else. We have groups of blood, group A, group B, blood type A, blood type B, blood type C. So we can still classify activity in particular groups of people, demonstrating the amount of light that they contain on a regular basis in the form of pigment as to how healthy it is or
wow.
how deficient it is, and be able to treat them. And this is still not being done. And I'm like, what are we dealing here with? This brain is just like everybody else's brain. I just ask different questions. And when you ask the question, you get the answer. And I'm like, why have they not asked this question yet? Now, this is going to lead me to something a little different that you also had the blessing to do. And that is to complete the development of your brain and nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had not done this for myself, I wouldn't have been able to help you. But I had to have more brain tissue, and that brain tissue had to be totally integrated with my entire brain and my peripheral nervous system to be able to identify information that previously, without enough brain tissue, was totally oblivious to me. So by getting more brain tissue, I was able to absorb more information where I was able to then identify what was going on with you.
Mm-hmm.
You had been told that you were going to just be totally dysfunctional the rest of your life. For me, I recognized that that was crazy. All you
right.
needed was basically just some minerals, and that was it. Do you understand how simple that was?
Oh, yeah, but, very simple.
But they did not have enough brain tissue to elucidate that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that was the only difference between why I was able to identify what was going on and why they were not. And it is because of the level of my brain development. This is why, Deborah, I put my scalpel down. I stopped getting so involved in minerals and vitamins and all this stuff, and I went to neurodevelopment and what I call neuroredesign.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore I found out that I could help people grow more brain tissue, just like you did, okay, as well as being able to now understand how to better utilize the different circuits of the brain to be able to do the wonderful things in life that the body is built to do. The body requires that we have to have both hemispheres of the brain and a completely developed peripheral nervous system to turn on all the software programs that are available to us. All
right.
we have to do is ask the body, how do I do this? That's
right.
all you have to do. And this is what I want to do. This is the directive. How do I do this? The information is in the tissues, in the brain, or either stored in the memory of every cell in the body. It's already in there. But you don't ask the question of yourself, and then you then don't put yourself in an environment that will allow the tissues to activate the software programs so that you can consciously see the pathway you need to take. It's
right.
all within us. And so when people are not going in for answers, the chances of them finding the answer is going to be very difficult.
Right, right. Well, you know, one of the things you told me, and I'll never forget it, you said that the best surgeon is one that does not have to use the scalpel. And so what you have just dissected for us is just really profound and awesome. And I'm really hoping that we can have this continuous conversation as we move forward in the very, very near future. And I want to thank you so very much for offering us this wealth of information. I hope that our listeners have been taking notes. And, of course, if they did not take notes, they've got to get your book, Vitamins and Minerals from A to Z, which they can get on my website, which is DeborahPeakHaines.com. Or, Dr. Jewel, please tell them how can they get in touch with you and give them the information on how they can keep up with all the wonderful things that you're doing and research and what you're sharing with us that can benefit our individual health and the mass.
Okay, well, thank you so much for having me. And there's two basic things I want to say. I want to definitely add a little caveat to my last statement. If the body has been ruptured, broken, okay, or punctured, that is where the surgeon can save your life. However, once the surgery has been done to either realign or stop the puncture or the loss of vital fluids, you must go into literally what we call lifestyle support or psychotherapy to find out how your misjudgment, how your thinking created that for you. There's
wow.
no victim. And we have to give that up. So that's the short side of it. If you're going to be a surgeon and you're going to put the body, because herbs are not going to stop your bleeding instantly.
Right,
okay,
right.
You've got to have somebody intercede in that. But they need to understand that that's only part A of a two-part process.
Oh,
they
thanks for clarifying that. That's
yeah, that's
important.
Very important, okay, because
yeah.
I love surgery. The anatomy of the body is incredible, but I was not taught trauma surgery. See, I was taught chronic surgery, which is due to a chronic diseased state of consciousness. So you don't cut on that. You have to basically go to where that problem is. And it's in the misuse of the brain and the mind with its thoughts. Okay, now, very quickly, my website is drjewelpookrum.com, and also the university that I'm the chancellor of, website is Juis.education. And so that's a whole name there that is abbreviated, Juis.education. And please spell education out. That is our immortal university because we have the owner's manual to the human body. So you have to have your owner's manual to operate this. You have one for your car, for
right.
your blender, but you don't have the owner's manual to your body, and that's why you lose it.
Right.
It is immortal. I guarantee you that. But you have to learn how to operate it. So we have a university that has all of those chapters that you need to be aware of on how to care for this body. So juis.education and jewelpookrum.com. And, again, you can find vitamins and minerals from A to Z on my website.
Well, thank you so very much, and we look forward to our next conversation. And thank you all for listening today to Deborah's Healing Kitchen. Please go to my website, as I said earlier, www.deborahpeakhaines.com. You will see Dr. Jewel's book on my website, and you can also go to her website. There is no way that you should miss getting this documented, wonderful manual that will help you in your life. Thank you again, Dr. Jewel. We look forward to coming back with you in the very near future. I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Bye-bye. Love you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Deborah's Healing Kitchen, where we are connecting mind, body, and spirit on the Jewel Network. We look forward to coming back to you next Tuesday at 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
This broadcast is under full copyright and trademark protection owned by the House of Jewels. This broadcast in its entirety, nor any part of this broadcast, can be reproduced, copied, transcribed, placed in podcast format, placed into MP3 format, or suspended on any internet digital location without express permission from the House of Jewels, Washington State, USA. To reproduce or suspend this broadcast in any digital location other than the Jewel Network is prohibited, and legal proceedings will follow accordingly. Thank you for listening.